Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced, creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm excited to be talking with Amelia Marshall Miller. Amelia is a Senior Director of Experience Design at EPAM Systems. She has spent her career in digital design consulting, having previously worked for Deloitte Digital and TCS. She also co-founded a web and mobile development company in Michigan called Gravity Works, which she led for 4 years and grew from 2 to 13 people and is still operating today. After earning a degree in graphic communications from Northern Michigan University, her roles have included work in UX and UI design, user research and discovery, front-end development, project management, and operations. After spending 8 years in Colorado and Utah, she now lives in the woods near Traverse City, Michigan. When she's not making pottery in her home studio, she enjoys hiking, mountain biking, boating, swimming, and cross-country skiing with her husband, John, and blue heeler, Bitsy. Welcome to the show, Amelia.
Thank you, Guy. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And you're going to talk to us today about pottery.
I am, yes.
Tell me where pottery comes into the picture for you.
Yeah. So I've set up my home studio almost 2 years ago when I moved into the house that I'm in now. It was something that I had not done for, let's say, 15 years before that. But it was something that I was always really interested in and really enjoyed as a child. So like in elementary school, middle school, any opportunity in art class that we had to work with pottery and clay, I always found really fun. It was always kind of my favorite activity. And I always really liked art. I was one of those few people that as a fairly young child in like third grade, when I heard about graphic design, I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. I like the idea of doing something that's artistic, but still has a business side to it where there are kind of constraints and you aren't just going off and being an artist. I knew I didn't want to just be an artist, but I always really liked ceramics. I did it a little bit in college and a little bit after college. And then it was just kind of, you know, career took over. Other things were the priority. And it wasn't until a couple years ago that I finally had the finances, the space, the time to kind of pull the trigger and decide to do it again myself at home.
So it sounds like pottery has always been kind of like a lifelong passion for you.
I would say it's been a lifelong interest. I don't know if I could call it a passion because I didn't really do it for a long time at all.
I like to start these sessions with the origin story. So tell me about the first time you came across pottery.
I don't know if I remember the first time, but I certainly, you know, remember some things that I made in elementary school that we got to do in art class, like pinch pots and coil pots. And once I learned about like wheel throwing and seeing artists do that, like I was always very interested in that, but I didn't even get the opportunity to do that until after college. So that was always something that I aspired to do, but was never able to take a class and actually try it until after my schooling.
Tell me more about that. I'm assuming that's where you have that, you know, the spinning wheel that you put a lump of clay on and you start from there.
Yep, that's exactly it. So within pottery, within ceramic arts, there's the two main ways of building are called hand building or wheel throwing. So hand building is doing anything else. So making slabs, making forms with your hands, with coils. You can make coil pots. And sometimes you can do hand building and it might even look as good as a wheel thrown pot. But yes, wheel throwing is when you're using the centrifugal force of the wheel to create a symmetrical pot, bowl, mug, whatever it might be on a pottery wheel.
I remember from my childhood when I, in art class, we would make the proverbial ashtray out of clay. For myself, and I think a lot of other kids in that age, it's another thing you do in art class.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that you saw differently? You saw as something that was beyond just a chore that I need to do within art class?
Yeah, I think I like the 3D physicality of it. I think that just as a child, for me at least, like the texture was fun too, like with clay or Play-Doh or something, you know, it's just a great feel. And that's the other thing with wheel throwing for pottery now is that it's the only thing I've done in my life, I would say, maybe not, but the main thing I've done in my life where I feel like I get into that flow state where you're doing the thing and you're just completely absorbed with it. You're not thinking about anything else. And with wheel throwing, you have to have a lot of focus. Things are always in motion, so you're just very absorbed in that task. Whereas with hand building, it doesn't necessarily have that same effect because you can still be pausing. You can still, you know, have different parts of the process. But yeah, wheel throwing to me is like very absorbing, very just, you know, physically enjoyable in a lot of ways.
And was that something you went out and learned how to get better at?
So after college, when I was in my first job, there was a pottery studio near the office. And so there I went and took a few classes. But really, most of that has been self-taught. Obviously now with YouTube, Instagram, like there's a lot of ways to learn on your own. So I think I knew a lot about pottery and ceramics as far as the basic properties and principles of, like, you know, what different types of clay might be like, how it dries, how, you know, what glaze is, like how generally what needs to be done as far as firing pottery in a kiln. So it's like I knew all of those basics, but there's so much to it, right? So I still have so much to learn. I've only been doing this for a couple of years, but yeah, I feel like I was learning and kind of preparing for a long time, even when I wasn't doing it, because I'd been following different artists on Instagram for years, just sort of coming up with lots of ideas in my head of what I wanted to make and how I might try to go about that. But yeah, I haven't taken any formal wheel throwing classes. I would really love to go to some more workshops, conferences in the next couple of years and do that. But so far, I've just been pretty self-taught.
You said that, you know, as you were thinking of when you were discovering graphic design, for example, and you're going to study that, you like the mix between the artistic aspect of it, but also the functional or business constraints that it had. Do you see pottery as more of an artistic pursuit, or is that still something that you like, or you set yourself some constraints on?
I would say that I see it as a artistic pursuit that I would like to succeed as a small business, as a side business as well. When you make things, you end up making a lot of things, and you don't necessarily want to just keep them all or give them all away. Like, to me, I would like to make work that people actually would want to pay a little bit of money for and would appreciate in that way. I also obviously have a full-time job right now. I'm not really focused on growing it as a business. To me, that's secondary right now. And I would say I'm still also in a very exploratory phase where I am trying to make lots of different things. I have ideas in my head I'm trying to execute on. I haven't gotten to the point where I said, okay, I'm going to make 20 mugs this weekend and I want them all to be identical and they're going to be a line that people can buy. That's something that I'm interested in doing in the future, but I wouldn't say I'm at that point yet. But I do feel like the quality I've been able to create just in the last couple of years, to me, is at a level that I feel like is at the point that people could purchase and be proud to own. But there's always so much room for improvement. There's always more to do and ways to get better.
When you sit down to create one of your pieces, usually when I talk to artists, there's one of two approaches. One is there's a picture in your mind where you see a final result you're trying to work towards. The other one is more exploratory, and you're starting to work with a material, and then something comes out or something draws you, and you go there. Where do you find yourself?
A lot of times I have a picture in mind. It's not always going to turn out that way, though, right? I would say that's generally how I start, where I would say, okay, I want to make, you know, today I'm going to make mugs, or today I want to make a larger planter. But the interesting thing with wheel throwing, I think, especially getting started, is that sometimes it takes a different form, right? Sometimes you're trying to make a tall vase, and because you're not as experienced, like,
all of a sudden it's a little bit more like a bowl and you say, okay, it's going to be a bowl today. So I think the physics of wheel throwing can sort of direct things, especially for people who aren't as experienced. But I think that's part of the fun of it too. And sometimes something might go wrong. When that happens, you can always recycle the clay. Like, that's the great thing about it too. Whatever, until something gets fired, you can always dissolve it in water and reconstitute it into clay and try again. So from that perspective, ceramics is kind of forgiving. But sometimes you can make a mistake and then kind of change what it is and come up with something that's different and unique that maybe wasn't what you were intending. So I think that's kind of fun too.
So you were saying you're relatively new to the field in a more professional way, but I'm sure there's already things that you look back, 2-3 years ago and you're saying, wow, I can't believe I did things that way. What, tell me about some of the things that surprised you about starting to work with pottery.
I think that one thing that surprised me is that everything you try to make has a challenge to it. So for example, it's pretty commonly known that if you're going to try to make bigger pieces, there are more challenges for that. Like, just moving more amounts of clay takes longer. Like, it's more room for failure. With wheel throwing, if something's not centered, then it ends up being lopsided. And then, like, a lot of times you can't really save the piece if that happens. So when you have a more amount of clay, that's more likely to happen. But, like, making things extra small is also challenging. I've been trying to work on making espresso cups. My husband used to own a coffee shop and we have a really nice espresso machine. So that's something that I thought would be really cool to have a line of. And making something smaller is also challenging. Making plates that are wider on the wheel has its own challenges. So making mugs, like handles, are, I would say, not fun to make. There's lots of different techniques, but I don't know a lot of people who really enjoy making handles for mugs. So it's definitely a medium where there's everything you do has its own unique challenges. And the other thing that's really interesting and challenging about pottery is that there are so many stages to it. So for a really experienced potter, they can throw a piece on the wheel in maybe 2 minutes, like extremely fast. But then after that, you have to let it dry. You need to carve it. You need to trim it. You could potentially carve it if you want to. You can apply underglaze. There's an initial firing, and then there's regular glaze, and there's another firing, and there's final finishing. And so there's so many steps in the process, and there's so many different parts, pieces in time where things could go wrong. So that's one of the challenges to it. But that's also what makes it so interesting and exciting, is that there are literally infinite possibilities for what you could create with pottery. Every glaze reacts different with different clay, being fired at different temperatures, being layered in different ways with other glazes, being put on clay that is maybe thicker or thinner. Like, there's so many different variables. So those, the same thing that can cause a lot of frustration and problems along the way is also the thing that makes it just infinitely variable in the outcomes that someone can create.
I find it fascinating that what you're describing is an art form where you sit down to create something, and it's very likely that it's going to either not come out the way you wanted to, or nothing will come out at all.
Yeah.
How do you get accustomed to that approach of I'm sitting down to do something as an artist and I may fail completely?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, at least right now, it's more about having fun and experimenting and trying different things. But I think for a lot of potters, it's just about having to have the mindset of being resilient and knowing that something might go wrong and there's going to be another day. There's going to be more clay. Like, you can't really let yourself get attached to anything too much. And everyone is different in terms of their level of tolerance for what they think is a success or not, right? I've seen artists post things where they say, oh, all of these mugs I made, I don't like the way the glaze turned out. And so they're not even going to try to sell them at that point. Whereas I look at them and I'm like, I think that glaze looks really cool. If I made those, I'd be very proud of them. So I think everyone has their different level of standards. And of course, that will change. I'm sure that will change over time.
for everyone as well. I've also seen some people who create ceramics with extremely large form, like more, let's say, like an actual traditional art piece installation. That to me would stress me out. Like if I'm looking at a piece that's 3 feet tall and taking 3 weeks to build, like I don't know if I could handle that. That stress of going into a kiln and not knowing if it's going to come out or not. So there's different levels of that. But I think most potters just know that it's the nature of the work that things are going to happen. Something can get destroyed in the kiln and you wait 24 hours for the kiln to open and things are ruined. And that's just always a risk that's there.
So tell me about your studio. How is it set up?
Yeah, so it's in my basement. I have plans to expand it and do more in the future because we have a washer and dryer down there that we are going to end up getting rid of. We have another washer dryer hookup in our house. So I want to expand it in the future, but right now it's just a pottery wheel and a kiln that's about less than 3 feet wide and about 3.5 feet tall. So we did have to get like electrical work done to hook that up and like a vent so that it vents outside. So we had to do some work to set that up. And then I just have a few tables, a few shelves, glaze stacked up. It's not as organized as I want it to be. So in the future, I will improve it. But right now, I'm just trying to find the time when I have it to play with clay.
When do you get to go to your studio? Is there a specific time of day or are there specific days that are dedicated to it?
Not specific days. I definitely try to do it every weekend where like I might throw a few pieces on the weekend. And then the other thing that's tricky about it is it's time reliant where you have to wait for the clay to dry a certain amount before you trim it. If you wait too long, then if it's too dry, then you can't really trim it or do the things you want to do. So that's also been a learning curve and that can change seasonally too. Like if it's more humid out, things won't dry as quickly as if it's dry out. So I try to do some work on the weekend and then during the week, I just have to kind of check stuff every day and then say, okay, I'm going to spend an hour doing this today because things are ready or, oh, I'm going to not do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. So definitely having flexibility in my schedule is helpful. But yeah, it's really evenings and weekends, definitely not every day. And then also for me, I plan to do pottery less in the summer. Because I live in northern Michigan. It's beautiful in the summer. I want to spend time outside. So it's definitely more of a fall, winter, and spring hobby as well for me.
Tell me about your style. Is there the Amelia style of pottery?
I think I've been developing that. There's certainly things that I've been very interested in that have worked that I've repeated. So your carving is one thing. I've been making a lot of planters with like black glaze that then I carve into so you can see the white clay underneath it in kind of geometric patterns. So I have been interested in more geometric carving type things. I've been less interested in things that are just a little bit more, I don't know, you could say like glaze based, like Reiku pottery is really popular where you get like really interesting effects from putting clay in, putting pots into different materials when it's very hot and having that have certain different effects on the outside of the clay. So I've been less interested in like just glaze based effects, and I've been more interested in trying to do things that are based on carving more geometric patterns on pieces.
Is there kind of a the white whale of pottery, that piece that you're aspiring to create and you're working towards?
I don't think there's one specific piece, but I definitely want to get to the point where I can be doing more repetition, just getting faster, getting more consistent, getting to the point where at least for a majority of different shapes and things that I want to make that I could say, okay, I'm going to make, you know, this sized object and I'm going to measure out the clay so I know I have the right amounts and I'm going to make 5 in a row. Like that's the type of thing that I definitely want to be able to do. But for me, I also haven't had the time or the patience yet to do that. I just feel very, you know, time limited with having a full-time job that I just haven't really dedicated the time to really try to hone in on that. But that's probably a bigger goal for me.
Is your house filled with pottery pieces?
I wouldn't say it's filled with it yet, but we do have one corner that I set up for photographing pieces. There's a lot of shelves. There's like some big built-in bookshelves. So those are getting filled. Probably if those ever get actually filled, then I would have to start giving away a lot more or get some coupon codes for my Etsy site.
What are some of the reactions you've been getting?
I mean, I have been very proud of what I've been making, because I think a lot of people that I've shared it with so far have been impressed at the quality for the little amount of time that I've been doing this. And I really attest that to just the mindset and the desire that I've had to do this for so long, so that once I started doing it, not that I don't have challenges, and I'm not saying that my work is perfect, but I feel like I had a level of quality that I inherently already knew how to get to with a little bit of practice. So I've definitely been, you know, proud that people have seen my work and said, well, I would have guessed you've been doing this for a lot more years.
Do you find your work is influenced by other types of art?
I don't know about other types of art. Sometimes I'll get ideas. One thing I really think is interesting about pottery is when people use objects that aren't meant for pottery to help build pieces. So to me, it's not really about the inspiration, but it's about a kind of the found object aspect of, you know, finding different things that you could use to stamp into pottery. Or like I have these doilies I haven't done anything with, but I've had them for years because I had this intention of using them to like imprint onto pottery to make like a texture or a pattern. So I think that pottery is really, a lot of people will use things from nature, right? Like you could use pine cones or flowers to make impressions. So I do find it really inspiring to just find objects like around my house or outside that I say, oh, I could use this in this way in pottery. But as far as actual inspiration, like, I mean, I definitely have seen a lot of people, a lot of potters, like on Instagram, that do really interesting things. A lot of other potters that do carvings and geometric patterns that I definitely like aspire to be able to, you know, have their level of skill and quality. Because, yeah, definitely carving is not the easiest thing. So that's something I want to get a lot better at, that I find a lot of inspiration just from seeing really experienced artists that do that style.
What sort of other potters inspire you in that sense?
For specific names, I don't know. There's a woman called like named Juliet Devon, I think is her name, who does mugs that are really like kind of intricate geometric carvings. I also follow a lot of artists that I would say are not the style that I would like to make myself, but I find very entertaining. I think it's Silver Lining Ceramics. She's in like Seattle, and she makes these like super rainbow glitter, like just very maximalist, I would say, very colorful work that I just think is really fun and cool, although that's not the type of thing that I want to make. So I would say I follow a pretty wide variety of artists as far as what I find inspiration from.
Looking back at you're just starting with pottery, you probably had a vision of where you're going to be. Are you still on that path, or are things completely different from where you thought you would be?
I think I'm still on the path for sure. I think I see this as a journey that definitely will last like the rest of my life, right? Like once I started doing it, it was like, yes, this is what I wanted to be doing. Like this is definitely something I'm very passionate about. Like I want this to be my thing, you know, besides my career. So, you know, I don't feel any rush or any pressure in that perspective, because I do see it as a like a long time frame in front of me. And I definitely see myself in the future getting to like a retirement or semi-retirement state where I really start to spend more time on it and dedicate more time and get to that place of like, you know, some type of production level, like I've mentioned, like being able to make dozens of one thing in a day, or like dozens of one thing in a week. But I think that that will take a lot of time. And it's also not something that I don't want to overwhelm myself right now, right? Like with having a job, with having other interests, with having, you know, my husband and my dog that I want to spend time with and do things. Like I don't want to spend all of my time outside of work doing pottery. So I think it's just finding that balance and just continuing methodically in that way, but not putting too much pressure on myself to produce X amount at this point in time.
Yeah, that is a really good point. How do you find that balance and keep pottery at the, you know, not push yourself or pressure yourself to make pottery another career at this point, or another thing that you need to feel like you need to keep producing at a certain level?
Yeah, I actually started tracking my time, which is kind of funny, but definitely a me type of thing to do, because I did want to,
I did want to know how much time it ended up being, like how fast am I right now? And also just to sort of level set on that, right? To say like, I mean, I've been spending, let's say 5 to 10 hours a week on it. So just to kind of know like, okay, that's a good pace. Like that's where, you know, it's a, maybe not every day, but it's enough times a week that I'm making a few things every week. I'm still having a few nights where I'm not doing it and I'm focused on other things and, you know, getting outside. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that I've done just to sort of gauge where I'm at. And I'm sure in the future, I'll, at least for, I would say in the near term future, in the next couple of years, I'll probably stay at that pace, but I'm sure I'll get faster, right? I'll be able to create more in the same amount of time.
What are some of the your favorite pieces that you've created?
So these, the planters that I mentioned have definitely been some of my favorite ones. Yeah, I would say those are my favorite ones. I definitely have some mugs that I like, but the thing with mugs too is that there's again so much nuance to it. Like once you finally get your finished piece and you hold it in your hand, you might say, "Oh, well, this is really bottom heavy or the handle's not comfortable." So, you know, mugs are the type of thing where I just think it can take so long and so many iterations to make what someone might consider the perfect mug. So I guess that's in a way frustrating and maybe not something that I've wanted to spend too much of my energy on, but being able to create things that are a little bit larger, like a planter, I didn't think I was going to really go that larger direction, but I've to me, it's felt like an end result that to me is very successful and something that people would want, hopefully. So I've enjoyed that. And the other thing, I know I mentioned my husband had owned a coffee shop and has an espresso machine, but he also is a woodworker and furniture designer. So that's fairly new to him as well, as far as having his own home set up to be able to do that and do it in a way that it's a creative outlet for him to be able to make all kinds of different things. So we also have ideas in the future to collaborate. He's making like a planter stand, but I need to then get to the point of I can make the right size and the right shape that'll fit that, you know, like we're both kind of learning and building together, but we definitely have plans to collaborate, which should be really fun as well.
That's awesome. Amelia, where can people find you?
So I'm on Instagram at Sleeping Fans Pottery. That's the main place.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you, Guy. It was great chatting.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me, and until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.